Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I want to begin on this Monday, January 29th, 2018, out of the book of Luke, chapter 19. I want to begin there. We're going to see how the week goes ahead of us. I trust it's going to be divinely led by the Holy Spirit. We're going to give place to God, and we're not giving any place to the enemy to bring anything but the truth to our hearts and minds. How many of you know that the Bible, the new covenant is known as the gospel? And how many of you know that the gospel means the good news? And yet we've confused the idea and the meaning of what the good news is. We think somehow that the good news is that nothing is wrong anywhere in the world, where that's not the truth. The good news is given to those who believe in the goodness of God, who sent his son to this world, and that regardless what goes on in this world or in our lives, as we stay connected to the vine, we have the eternal life that has been promised to us. And there are blessings, and there is peace and joy and an abundant life to live on this side of eternity. But that does not mean, this good news does not mean that an unrepentant world is going to get in on the benefits of it. The world is spinning out of control. We're going to talk about that today. And even within the midst of God's people, there are times that we cause our Lord to weep. And I want to begin in verse 41 in Luke chapter 19. And when he came near, he beheld the city. He's talking about Jesus coming to look at the city of Jerusalem. He wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto peace, if you only would have known what was available to you. But now they are hid from your eyes, for the days shall come upon you that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, and compass you round, and keep you in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and your children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Now, I want to ask you a question. When Jesus Christ began his ministry 3.5 years earlier, before he wept over the city of Jerusalem, did he come bringing the good news? Did Jesus bring the gospel? Did Jesus bring the good news of the gospel to the nation of Israel and then gave it to the apostles and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to take it to the ends of the earth? And yet, the answer is yes. And yet, within the context of him bringing the good news, to the nation that rejected him, he wept over it. He wept over the nation that rejected him. He was looking at Jerusalem in its present form, and he's weeping as he's speaking prophetically to the destruction that would come upon the land. And yet he's the author of good news. Amen. And so in like manner today, the good news of the gospel is for those who believe, for those who obey, for those who do, for those who connect. Okay, that is just a simple truth. You love God, you believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, you could rejoice. Your sins are forgiven. They've been washed away as far as the east is from the west. As far as they cast them in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more, they've been taken away in the blood of the Lamb. God has no record of your sins against you. Now, that's good news to me. And if you believe in what Jesus Christ brought into this earth, well, happy are you. Does that mean you're not going to suffer a day of trouble? Does that mean that you're not living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation? Well, we're told in the book of Philippians that we do live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. The good news has not impacted an unbelieving world, but the other side of that good news for those who believe is the really, really bad news that we see all around us all the time. And I want to go a little deeper. I want to go to James chapter 4, and I want you to get the heartbeat of Jesus. He's the lover. He's weeping over his own nation, over his own people. And I would imagine that the Lord would just weep over the earth because he sent his good news into the whole world. But the whole world has not received him. It has rejected him. In fact, has warred against him, spit in his face again, slapped him, punched him, nailed him to a cross, crucified him, blasphemed him. And we see that everywhere around the world, denial of the rightful heir of the planet called Earth. And yet I could see the Lord weeping, but he's not going to weep for long. The Lord will return as a lion, and he will come to take what is rightfully his, and those that are really his are going to be with him. Those who are not really his are not going to be with him. There are many that think they belong to the Lord. They think they're going to heaven. Many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, but they're not entering in. So we're in a very critical time. It always has been. It doesn't mean it's an absence of good news. It means if you really have embraced the Messiah, then the good news is better than it's ever been, especially in a sin-sick world like we're in right now, in a world that is threatening us with massive death and massive killing. Now, before I get into all of that, James chapter 4, just let's read a little bit. And I want to begin in verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And so I looked up the word friendship, because this has been coming into my spirit a lot. And the Greek word for friendship here is philia, philia. And that word simply means a fondness. But it has a deeper Greek word, which is philos, philos. And that word philos means to be friendly, to wish well. And I believe here that the Lord is saying through James that know ye not that the faring well, if you're wishing the world well, if you're fond of the world, that it is enmity with God. So I looked up the word enmity, and you probably know what it says already, but the word enmity actually means, and I'm going to give you right out of the Greek here, it's the word ikthra, and it means to cause enmity by a reason. Listen to this. It is a reason for opposition. It means hostility. So what James is saying, know ye not that your fondness of the world, your wishing of the world well, is putting you in opposition and hostility against God. Now, those aren't the words of men. This is an end-time apostolic James who's writing these things by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he says in verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? In other words, the Spirit that dwells in the saints of God is envious for the things of God. And to be fond of this world, or to wish the world well, or to be a part of the world, to have friendship with it, immediately places us in opposition to God's heart concerning the world. See, God so loved the world that he gave his son, but a world that rejects him is not a friend of God. It is not a friend of God. I don't care what the world says and philosophy and religion and all that stuff. Here's the pure word of God, verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So we're saved by what? Grace. How do we get grace? When we humble ourselves and receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To accept lordship over our lives, to accept a king over our lives, to willingly yield to a higher authority than ourselves is the greatest act of humility. And for those who have humbled themselves and received Messiah as the king, as the authority over our lives, grace is granted unto us. You see, the world wants to be God. They don't want authority. They don't want a king. They don't want anybody to tell them what they can or cannot do. They want to be their own God. And so there's no grace for the world. You need to understand that. It's a world that is in opposition to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your life should not be in opposition to him. My life should not be in opposition to him. We are the humbled ones who have accepted the lordship. We have submitted to the lordship. We understand that he is the king, and so we have bowed the knee. Well, eventually every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess, but that doesn't mean all are going to be saved. It just means there's going to be acknowledgement of the truth. And so in verse 7, it says this. Now remember, God resists the proud. The proud are those who are unwilling to accept the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the lordship, the kingship, the authority of God's word in our lives. See, our humility is to do what God's word says to do. That's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. We do what the word tells us to do, and we don't do what we want to do. We don't live the way we want to live. We have given up our lives to the authority of Christ directing us. And I know you say, well, you know, this is my life. Well, no, it's not. We were created. We are not the creators. We are the creation. And God created us for a purpose. And the only way we're going to understand that purpose is by submitting to his authority and lordship. And we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is a God of love. And he's going to guide us into the fullness and the abundance of life, not some miserable thing. We're normally in misery, sickness, disease, brokenness, busted, and disgusted because we're doing things our own way. It is impossible to follow the word of the Lord with a sincere heart and to find those aspects. But listen to this, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's what the humble will do. Those who have received the grace of God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil of pride. All right? Resist the devil of pride to take things into your own hands. And he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to this now. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Why? Because we didn't see the true condition of the eternal damnation that was written upon our soul. But now that the good news and the light of the gospel has come and it has exposed our utter depravity and sinfulness, well, this is a time to stop being giddy and start getting it right with the Lord and repenting and confessing from all sin, fondness of the world, arrogance, pride, doing things our own way. You know, all of these things God's saying to repent from. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Too many times people of God are trying to lift themselves up, get their lives better, get all these formulas, build yourself up. I'm telling you, there's one great way to get exalted in a proper way, and that's by humbling ourselves. The lower we seek to go, the higher God will exalt us, and God knows what direction to exalt us in. We don't need to be looking for our best advantage in the world that we live in, because again, our lives are not for this world. We are being built in our born-again spirit in for something much greater than the here and now. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. who art thou that judgest another? So don't be critical. I mean, obviously, judicially, we should know right from wrong. In the book of Corinthians, Paul said, what do we have to do to judge those without? Do we not judge those within? But this is not a condemnation. This is not a critical fault-finding. Somebody has sin in their lives that they're working out of. Everybody has been marred and affected by sin. And so we need to be patient with one another, not critical, not fault-finding. We need to give God time to operate in another person's life. And when you start messing with another person's life and trying to take over and control, you're getting yourself in a lot of trouble. You're talking about touching sovereignty, and be very careful about doing it. So let's love one another, encourage one another, reprove one another, rebuke one another. You know, that's okay. As long as it's always in the direction, come on, get up, get on. We can do better than this. Let's go. But never that judgmental, lording over, making people feel less than you. Don't ever do that. Make sure that you are lower than everybody else. You get way down low, on your face, in the dirt, so that others can be higher than yourself. That's an attitude of humility. And it is also great humility to obey what God tells us to do. Now, here's an important verse here in James 5:13. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's a false boasting in doing things the way we want to do them and then complimenting ourselves. And then there's the rightful boasting in God for the things he's doing in our lives. And I want to finish this up. Chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, you rich men, and how for your miseries that shall come upon you. We saw a bunch of rich men in Davos, Switzerland last week. Your riches are corrupted. They're all globalists, by the way, the majority of them. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Seems like the corrupt rich men of the earth know better to prepare than most of the people on the planet. Behold, the time of the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cry, and the cries of them have reached and entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. So where's this all heading? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ can be fully apprehended, absorbed into your experience on this earth right now. You could be the most joyful, happy person on the planet, regardless of what's going on against you, regardless of what's going on around you. You could have inside of you a climate of great joy. And remember, the prophetic word of God for the last days is that the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. And if you're feeling weary, get happy because of the good news that God has sent into your life that you have received and you have humbled yourself. The grace of God is upon your life and you have eternal life. That ought to make you very, very happy. There's no record of wrongs against you. There is no record that can be found. It's been buried. It's been taken away. It does not exist in the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are absolutely, totally, completely loved by your Creator. He knew you were a sinner when he gave his son to the cross. When you and I were enemies, he still died for us. This is great love. God loves you and I and everybody on this planet and has called to us. We have accepted the call. We have gone forth. We believe. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a wonderful act of God's love. But it doesn't mean that Jesus is not weeping over this world. It's not, he's not weeping over a lukewarm apostate church that is basically doing what it wants to do, saying what it wants to say. Okay? Jesus weeps in the compassion and tenderness of his heart. And I have a sense he's weeping over the things I'm about to share with you. America will be roaming. The American public, the people in the United States of America. And we can't even call ourselves the United States anymore. We're not united. And the Americans will be roaming through the streets. The Lord has shown that America will be known as a nation of refugees. People will be roaming to and fro from one city to another seeking shelter and rest. The Lord said, what we saw in New Orleans after the hurricane called Katrina hit will become a national reality. Just as those people fled from their destroyed city to other cities, so shall it be in the days ahead. Because of the several nuclear detonations, natural disasters, and other terrorist-related incidents in major cities across America, on the same day, millions will be wandering from sea to shining sea, looking for a place of safety and rest. During this time of wandering, people will become infected as biological and chemical weapons are released upon the population. Great food shortages and water shortages are going to cause rioting and looting in an unprecedented way. Great violence will emerge and a strong spirit of brutality will manifest. Katrina is the picture multiplied 1,000 times. Las Vegas, Nevada will be a ghost town. People will be wandering through the emptied and mostly destroyed casinos and city shopping malls. They will fondle gambling chips that possess no value. Las Vegas shall surely be a haunt of every unclean bird, and jackals will reside in that place. Martial law will be imposed within the nation. A time of complete desperation will hit. Those who barked like dogs in so-called revivals will whimper at the devastation, and at their foolery will amount to nothing. Those who refused to repent but went after the gifts will come away empty-handed, and their short-lived healings will be met with eternal burnings because their hearts were led astray into great deception, as the scriptures said they would. The burning heart of repentance can no longer be seen in America. The cry for repentance is falling upon deaf ears, and the masses are being led into the slaughter. The day of slaughter began. It has escalated into a worldwide epidemic as hundreds of thousands are being destroyed around the world. Prophets are fools. The people are mad upon their idols. A sword against the treasury of the United States has been unsheathed. I will strike their treasures and take them away to another land. I will transfer the wealth of the nation to another. It is over. The collapse is sure. The time of debate is ended. America will be a nation of refugees. Those who hate shall meet with hatred. Those who mocked shall be a derision. Those who refuse to obey shall be punished. Terror shall take hold of a nation who has forsaken the law of the Lord. Saints, find your way to the cities of refuge now. Begin to build your lives in those places. Go to those places that uphold the laws of the Lord. You will be protected. Build cities that will welcome and provide for survivors who are sent from the Lord. These will be speaking and seeking for Christ Jesus from true hearts. Establish godly leaders within the cities of refuge, for the transfer will come to a nation within a nation. Fill up the storehouses. Many will be led by the Spirit to these safe places they never knew of. The coastlands will perish. Seek refuge now. It is late. Let us not linger like Lot anymore. Now is the time for first things and great things. It will be an exceptional time for the uncompromisingly righteous elect in the earth. Is that you? Are you an uncompromisingly righteous elect saint of God? Or do you bend to the will of the world? Do you bend to the will of your flesh? Do you bend to the will of men? Or are you unbending? Are you rigidly righteous? I know that's been mocked in our society, but the blessing is coming to the uncompromisingly, the rigidly righteous, who know the boundaries and dare not step over them. understand the liberty and the spirit and the life that God has given, but they understand that there are boundaries that they don't pass over. These are the uncompromisingly righteous, and the word of the Lord is this: it will be an exceptional time for the uncompromisingly righteous. And I believe the exceptional thing that God is speaking about is what we've been talking about for the last 3 months, about the acceleration of God's purpose in the earth through a people that God is going to give something to eat to accelerate their process within, so that they're going to be a divine activation of divine energy to break through every circumstance and to get the job done that God wants them to do. While it will prove also to be a time of great devastation for people who have rejected the good news of Jesus Christ. A new cycle of punishments is upon America. They begin now. The national patriotic movement will be swept away. American patriotism will be flushed out of the system as people will not be able to stomach the hypocrisy anymore. There will be a wave of new and upgraded terrorism come to the shores of America with a new strain of virus that will take the lives of many. Prophecies concerning multitudes of people dying have been stayed for a time so that some would repent and be saved. This new virus will take the lives of many as older prophetic words will be fulfilled. This plague will strike both the righteous and the wicked. There are people who have received the righteousness of Christ, who will be killed by what is being released during the next cycle of punishments. The first plague that will be released will kill the righteous and the wicked together. The good news for those who have received Christ into their hearts is that they will awaken to an eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Here we are not speaking of the compromised, lukewarm, or apostate believers, but those who have been working out their salvation with fear and trembling. The uncompromisingly righteous shall surely shine forth like the stars of heaven during this very dark time. This will be the point of release for exploits to be accomplished through this remnant company of believers who have learned how to live their lives in Christ. Let me stop for a moment and just say this. There are very good people all over the world that are working out their salvation, this nation. There are people that love God, but they got a lot of problems. They have not yet gotten delivered from the demonic in their soul realm. The generational curses have not yet been broken. There are some bad habits that they have. They're going to have to walk through some tough times. Many people that love God are going to experience this death. However, it doesn't mean that they're eternally damned. There will be, and this is in the mind of God. He's the judge. He's the final judge. And it's how we deal with God. Are we running our race? Are we doing our best? Are we cooperating with God? Are we obeying the Lord? Have we humbled ourselves and let his word be our guide? Are we listening to what he said and doing what he said? Well, there are those who are working it out, but the calamities that are coming are going to be taking lives of men and women, and those who believe and have been right before God will awaken into everlasting life. However, there will be a company of men and women of God who have been in the secret place working this out and have been putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and it appears that in a particular moment, these are the ones that are going to shine forth like the stars of heaven, giving wisdom and guidance. That's what stars do. Now, the wave of calamity will come from the west. It will stretch from north to south. The northern parts of the United States will feel the same impact as the southern part of the United States. Violence will be released through the sword of war. The sword has been unsheathed and it will find its prey scattered throughout the United States. We will begin to see what has been held off during the first cycle of punishments. A wave of terrorism will strike in several different places as jihadist and terror cell groups are activated. They will strike with ease as though no one was watching, no one was ready, and no one was stopping them. Many will find themselves unable to contend with the enemy, for they know it not, but they are fighting against the Holy One. The Most High God, truly, it is not flesh and blood, but the principality of God's righteous judgment that will strike the nation with a blow. You see, we have to understand the Bible is very clear that when God judges a nation, even his own, he uses other nations that are less holy to do the work. is a battle axe, States of America. There are weapons of war that have come to this nation. And because of our blasphemous attitude against the Lord, because of our ridicule, because of our television screens and the mockery and the blasphemy and the shedding of innocent blood and the appointment of total rebellion against God, this nation is going to have to pay the price. And that's why I believe God is saying the prophets that are blessing this world, they're acting like they're fond of it. They're wishing it well. Everything's going to be okay. The prophets that are blessing America saying, we wish you well. Everything's going to be okay. But have not called the nation to absolute, pure, unadulterated repentance and have not called the church to pure, unadulterated repentance. I believe God said they are fools. They are foolish prophets. They are only speaking after the imagination of their own. They do not know the Lord, for if they knew the Lord, they would not bless what God has cursed. It would not be that way. The sound of lamentation will be heard in America. The voice of joy and laughter will be taken from the land, and the voice of wailing will be heard in the streets. People will awaken to disasters so fierce that they will not be able to handle the pressure. Now, among those uncompromisingly elect, they're going to be able to go through. They're not going to be in denial about what's happening, but they are going to have an inward quality of life to be able to deal with the pressure. They've been pressurized. Remember, we talked about that. They have a divine element within them that enables them to remain during the time of pressure. In other words, they are built for this moment, and they will go through and endure unto the very end. Who then is that golden vessel that the Lord may pour himself into and out of? Who then is that man that God will choose to do his exploits in the earth during this very grave time? It is the man, infested sons of God. It is the one new man in the earth bringing the full weight of divine justice to the earth. Listen, it is the governmental body of Christ establishing kingdom authority all over the world. The revelation of the two witnesses will be seen during this season. Surely the heavens shall not give their dew, nor the clouds their rain. Surely the earth shall be struck with one plague after another because of the intensity of the divine mission of the two witnesses. Yet in the midst of the struggle, the sound of heaven shall resound throughout the whole earth. The sign of the Son of Man shall be seen in the heaven, and the many shall lift up their heads as their redemption is near to come. Even so now, the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I want to do some things here. It's 9:32 already. One of the most profound teachings I have ever looked at in Scripture concerning the moment that we're living in as a New Testament, New Covenant church, At a very critical, disturbing time upon our nation. We are now in, as you know, the time that the prophet Isaiah said, they call light darkness, darkness light. They call bitter sweet, sweet bitter. Everybody's a little bit confused about what's really going on. There are so many different voices. And balance is the key to everything. Balance is the key to everything. And the balance is, when you read the Bible, this is the only source in truth that we can draw from as voices, as speaking spirits. You and I are speaking spirits, and we have to speak God's word into this earth. And the consistent theme in God's word from the time of the Garden of Eden, if you sin, there's a consequence. Now, you cannot say to America today that God has winked at the last 50 years of your rebellion, your hatred, your mockery, your defilement, the bloody crimes of witchcraft and pedophilia and abortion and all your rituals and your false gods and your hatred for God, your rebellion against God. You cannot say that after all of this that brought this nation to the condition that it's in, that God is just going to say, okay, do over. Let's make it all great again. That is not right. That it does not exist unless they're going to turn to the greatness of God by repentance. Now, if the king hits the ground on his face and calls the nation to repentance like an Assyrian king did, he didn't even let the cattle have any food or water. Now, you give me an Assyrian king that's going to humble himself and get on the television and tell the nation to repent because we have sinned against Jesus Christ and we have sinned against the Holy Spirit and we have blasphemed the Almighty God, and then give me a reformer like Josiah that's going to go into Hollywood and shut down and go to war with the real issues of abortion, go into the judiciary of the Supreme Court of the United States and overturn the laws and do it now because you know you can't stomach another day of this hypocrisy. Now we're going to talk about a revolution of righteousness. Now we're going to talk about God blessing America. Now we're going to talk about it. That's the right way to do it. You don't bless this nation right now in its present condition and say that now it's all good. And that's not consistent with the word. That's what the false prophets did from the very beginning of time. And they've always been wrong. And the false prophet spirit was in Satan when he said to the woman, "Has God really said?" In other words, go ahead and break God's law. Go ahead and sin against God. You're not going to pay for it. And that's what the false prophets have been saying from the beginning by that spirit of Satan. Nothing bad is going to happen to you in spite of the many crimes that you've committed. I'm sorry, but the God of the Bible is a God of justice. He is a God of righteousness, and his truth will endure forever. And anybody that says or thinks that America is under the blessing and protective hedge of God is a liar. Period. Now, the balance is to say, yes, America in its present condition is under the judgment and divine wrath of God from the head to the toe. But within the midst of the nation, there are a people who are getting the blessing of God's grace, the blessing of God's benefit, the activation of spiritual kingdom things. That is fair to say. That is fair to say. I'm going to open the telephone lines, 818-369-0326. You're welcome to call into the broadcast today, 818-369-0326. If you have any questions or comments or something you would like to share on this Monday morning program, we welcome you to do so. I'll begin with area code 479-855. Pastor Ken Wagner, good morning, sir. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. Boy, that's a wake-up call for a Monday morning, let me tell you. And it's a good one. Well said, the things you pointed out on. So, but I was reminded of something that I had read a long time ago, and that for every great Christian uprising and the swell for God, Satan tries to block it. And he'll try and raise enough stink and enough problems to cause Christians to begin to back off. That's his game. And even more so now, as the end times start to approach, he's going to raise that even higher. So what do we need to do? You said it. Become the uncompromising, righteous people of God and stand for him as never before. Build up everything that the Word says that we can be. Do everything the Word says we need to go ahead and do. And then possibly we will survive this onslaught. But even more so, we will become the overcomers and begin to do all the things that God has us to go ahead and do. And when we do that, we begin to help our brothers and sisters as well as examples of what God can do. And on there, even more so, we enter into the enemy's camp and begin to destroy the works as God gives us wisdom as to what the enemy is doing, and overcome him even more. That's our job, that's our task, and you're bringing it out beautifully. And please go ahead and comment on that.
Well, let's let the violent take the kingdom by force. Yes, I do believe that these are the greatest days. These are the most exceptional days that God is preparing for his people that love him. I believe that Jesus has a true church. I believe that there is a real, genuine bride of Christ that has made herself ready and is in the process of making herself ready to be like him. Jesus Christ will not join himself to a harlot. He's not going to join himself to a human-natured church. He's going to join himself to a divine-natured people who have put off the old man, put on the new man, and have been conformed into the very image and likeness of himself. Now we have an equally yoked marriage. God is not going to allow an unequal yoke of something divine to be married to something that is human. It's not going to be that way. He has gone out of his way to give us the Holy Spirit and plant a seed of divinity within us, his divine nature. And as we grow in the divine nature of a new creation species, now we're going to complement the bridegroom. So I believe that while we're talking about nations and all these things, that there's something so much larger at hand here, and it's about eternity. Let's take our next call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. How are you today?
Yes, we're fine. Temperature is 7 below, but so it is a little cool here. But I do have a question. Okay, from reading the Bible through the years, we read about when God destroyed the first world, he destroyed it with water. Okay, then he sent the rainbow as a promise. Now the second time it's going to be destroyed, it's with fire. That's what the Bible says. And I know you've talked and you said we've got to go by the word of God. This fire business that God is going to use, are we already starting to see this, or is and will this go into atomic bombs and all that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3 makes it clear that the heavens being on fire and the elements in the earth and the works in the earth will be burned up. I mean, there's no doubt that whether it's from meteorites, whether it's from cometary, but we know in World War III, there are people that are itching to pull the trigger of their nuclear arsenal, because that's in the heart of man. That's Satan's heart inside of people, of destruction and destroying. And the more sinful we become, Satan gains a greater advantage, and somebody's going to pull that trigger. And we're going to see Bible prophecy fulfilled, and it's not going to be light. It's not going to be quick. It's going to be final. It's going to lead us into the rapid fulfillment of the last prophecy spoken on the face of the earth, which is the book of Revelation.
Okay, so then with that proceeding to happen, now, will the whole earth be burned up literally? I'm just asking what your opinion is.
I don't believe so. Yeah, I don't believe so. I believe the earth is world without end. I believe the earth will exist. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe the newness that is spoken of there is the decor. Because when you look at the world, it's just the present decor. It's the systems. It's the things that have been, the world has been decorated with. But the new heaven and new earth will be the righteous decor of the kingdom of God that will fill the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the nations of the earth. There will be a beautiful, beautiful restoration after the fire. The fire has to burn up the chaff so that something new can grow in its place.
Yes, and so with are we talking with that one section of the Bible that talks about the millennium, then
yes,
the new heaven and the new earth, and that will be all ruled and reigned by Christ Jesus through God the Father.
Right, because the scripture in Revelation says that the elders are crying out and they're saying, and we are been made a kingdom of kings and priests, and we shall rule on the earth. And that's during the 1,000-year millennial reign. So after this great tribulation that's coming on the nations, there's still going to be a 1,000-year period on this earth, and it has nothing to say about it ever going. I do believe that our new glorified bodies that we're going to have, that there is an entire universe. There are multiple universes, dimensions that we can't even comprehend right now that we will be experiencing, and only God knows what that's like. I don't think we're limited to this earth, but I believe this earth will be in existence forever. That's my thoughts. Kathy, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. God bless
you.
You're
welcome.
All right. So, you know, what does this mean to you and I? What does it mean to you and I about the heavens and the earth, you know, the burning with fire and the time of calamity that's coming? To me, honestly, that's not bad news. And I don't know how people get to the idea as believers that this is somehow bad news. I have no fondness with this world. I'm not a friend of this world. I love the life that God has given me to live within the boundaries that he's allowed around my life. I love life. It's a gift. Life is a good. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and that's the secret. I can move and enjoy every benefit of God's earth, but I don't have to become a part of the world system. I don't have to be like the world. I don't have to be fond of the world. In fact, I'm told if I am, I set myself in opposition to God because he's not fond of it. And this is what gets me about people that are saying, you know, everything is good. Somehow God's fondness for it is Anyways, you know what I'm saying. The number to call, 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Questions or comments? Pastor Ken, anything in your heart you'd like to share?
I would, Pastor. In Isaiah 59:19, it states on here, when the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And part of the meaning of that word is to put the flight for the word standard as well. And I believe that's what the Lord will go ahead and do when we call upon him. When we have that uncompromising righteousness within us, God will listen to the prayers of those people, and he will set up that standard and protect us as much as possible in these end times.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you put that scripture in context in Isaiah, that when the enemy comes in, that is when he comes against the uncompromisingly righteous, that God will raise up a standard. He is not going to raise up a standard against the enemy to prevent him from attacking that which is compromised, that which is lukewarm, that which is in rebellion, that which is defiled before God. He's not going to lift up a standard against that enemy. He's going to lift it up. Yeah. So it's a good thing for us to remain righteous. So, yeah, great scripture. I love it.
Yeah, and that's what we got to remember. And that's what we're set here to go ahead and do that. First of all, to love our Lord, you know, and God with our whole hearts, our whole minds, our whole souls. And how can we do that if we're compromised with sin in different areas of our lives? That's what we need to go ahead and get rid of so that we can be infilled with every blessing, because we're going to need everything we got to fight off that enemy who's going to be like a raging lion. And we know that. So we need to be ready.
Well, yes, and I agree with you. America, now we're talking about, you know, America, we're talking about a nation, we're talking about the nation, then we talk about the church is a totally complete different entity here, the church within a nation, the divine ecclesia. But America, and this has been the point of our conversation today, has not hearkened to the Lord, nor kept the commandments of the Lord for a long time. And God has been speaking to America for over 50 years, specifically since the abolition of prayer in the public schools and the disallowance of the Bible in the classroom. And these two events led to the 60s movement, wherein drugs and sex and laziness saturated the nation. And a great and strong delusion came into the nation through the drug epidemic. This epidemic and delusion has not ceased to exist since that time. Look at us today. Now it's opioids. The Lord spoke to the nation, but it refused to hear him. Now he is speaking these following words, not to the deaf and ignorant, but to all who have ears to hear so that they may prepare. And what are those words that God is speaking? I find them in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 15, where it says, "And if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments," and Pastor Ken and Kathy, you let me know, is it me or is it them? Has not America, the once Christian nation, statutes of the Lord, and their soul, the soul of this nation, abhorred his judgments so that they will not do all his commandments, but they broke his covenant? I mean, that's Leviticus 26:15. Isn't that what we have done? Have we not? America has despised the Lord's words and has even legalized those things which he hates. Even unto this day, all these laws that have been passed into our society, reeking with blasphemy and arrogance, they are witnesses, they're signs against the lawmakers and legislators. Even in California and Oregon and on the West Coast, they despise the Lord's statutes. And because of this blatant disregard for God's ways in America, the following comes to pass in Leviticus 26:16. I will do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning fever that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. So there are several phases to this first decree in Leviticus 26:16. And during you know, these last, what are we, in the year 2018, since the millennium began, right, in the Gregorian calendar, America has been fighting terrorism of whatever sort it is, whether it's in San Bernardino or whatever the case is. But now the first phase of God's first decree to America of its total collapse will be the appointment of terrorism over her. That's what God said he would do. I will appoint terror over you. The West Coast of the United States will suffer severe blows of terror-related incidents that will cripple it. So get ready, West Coast. There's a lot coming to you from those fires and those landslides. That's the beginning of your sorrows. A great disability to defend or gain control over the terror movement will become clear. The United States will become a nation in fear. Remember, it is God that has appointed the terror over the nation. Are we ready for that in this country? I know it's Monday morning, and I know that you woke up this morning thinking, okay, what good news are we going to hear today? Well, the good news is, if you have accepted the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can live without fear. You can live an abundant life in the joy of the Lord with the people that you love, even though you're going to have to wake up, put on your shoes like everybody else, but you're going to enjoy the abundant life that God has given you. And this is your blessing in this little life that we all have that James called a vapor. Ladies and gentlemen, this life is a vapor. It is here today. It is gone tomorrow. How old are you? Are you 20 years old? Are you 30 years old? Are you 40 or 50 or 60? Are you 70 or 80 or 90? Have you made it to 100? How quick did your life go by? How fast have the years gone by? Can you look back and remember the early days of your childhood? Remember riding your first bike? You remember your first date? Do you remember your first car? Do you remember some great thing that you did that was so exciting to you? How fast has life gone by? Can you look back and say, man, there was a time I was in so much trouble, but now you're not anymore, thank God. How fast has your life gone by? How many experiences have you had? Where's it all going? I think the world thinks, and the Bible supports this idea, that we who are living, you know, are to prepare for those that are coming behind us, our children, our grandchildren. You know, we want to leave a heritage for our children and our grandchildren. We want to leave something behind that's positive, because we have this knowledge that we're going to go on. But we don't know, said the prophet and the pastor and the preacher Solomon. We don't know if we're going to leave behind all of our stuff to a foolish son or a wise son. We just don't know what people are going to do with what we leave behind. So what we really need to leave behind is a heritage of integrity, of righteousness. But we do need to understand that unless the Lord comes, I mean, if the Lord delays his coming for another 1,000 years, listen, our life is almost through. The heart is only going to beat so many more times. The breath that we breathe is going to only be breathed so many more times. And it's going to end. And we have lived on this earth, and the Apostle James said that it's a vapor. Your life is a vapor. That's why we should not just say, today I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, I'm going to do this, because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I'm going to go live over here for a year. You don't know that's going to happen. I don't know that's going to happen. So the idea is to live right now. Enjoy right now. Right now, receive the goodness of God through his son, Jesus Christ. Right now, be saved. Right now, give your life to Jesus. Right now, surrender. You're going to have to give it up anyways. Everybody's going to have to give it up. Stop trying to control things. We're just reading what God is saying is going to happen. And the only reason why I'm coming to you in this manner today is because, you know, I want to know the truth too. I'm a seeker of the truth. I want to understand. And there are so many voices around and about me you know, I need to shout a little bit louder so I can hear myself and hear what God is saying to me, as well as what God is saying to people that are tuned in to listen. I want to know the truth. I want to know who God is. I know He's a God of love. I know He's a God of mercy. I know He's a God that a full, complete compassion and grace. I know that. I've experienced that. I've lived that part of this. And I know that there's room for a lot more of that intimacy with my Father in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. I understand that. I do believe I'm saved. I do believe my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I also read about a God and a Jesus who weeps over His own people. He's weeping over the nation that rejects Him. And I have to believe that's His same heartbeat over the earth. Weeping over those who have rejected. And yet there is a very blasphemous, willful, rebellious, demonic influence in the world that hates God. It just doesn't not believe in God. It believes in God. It knows God and hates God. And you cannot bless that. You cannot bless that element. You cannot say everything's going to be okay. You cannot wink at that. Can't do it. And that's how it is. Now, you say I'm a believer. I say I'm a believer. I believe. All right. Are there fruits? Is there evidence of my faith? In other words, does my belief show fruits? If I say I believe, but I carry a grudge, if I say I believe, but I continue to think about me being a sinner or feeling guilty for my past, do I really believe? Because if I really believe, my past has been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't exist anymore. Perhaps it just hasn't dawned on me yet. And that's why faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God until it dawns on us. I'm not guilty anymore. I'm not condemned anymore. I'm not ashamed anymore. That life is gone. That life is over. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I obey the Word of God, and my obedience to the Word has produced something beautiful in my life. Is that the fruit of my faith? Well, I could say I believe from now into eternity, believe my name's written in heaven, just like the many that will say, Lord, Lord. He'll turn them away at the gate. Their names aren't found in the book of life. To me, it's a very serious thing. I anguish in my spirit. I anguish in my soul at times, wrestling with God, wrestling to know and understand the truth. Am I in the truth? Am I doing it right? Is my character being fashioned by the fire of God? Am I being purified? Am I purging out the leaven in my life? Is the Holy Spirit really guiding me? Am I really in immersed in the truth of God's Word? Do I apprehend Him properly? Do I know You, Lord? How can you be a believer and just be casual? How is that possible? When you say, my faith, I believe it. Well, again, if we really believe the good news, then we would begin to see the evidence show up in our character, in our nature, in our conduct, in our dealings. And, you know, I do thank God that He's the Savior. This is not about works, my works. This is God's work in my life and in your life. I just don't, you or I need to be confused about the days we're living in. And I think we need to continue to study and search. And if we find ourselves to be wrong, admit it, wherever that may be. And we do need to challenge one another. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not prophecy that's going to prevail. I could have the prophecy to know all things, but have not love. And I'm nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Love is a divine quality. Love is a spiritual quality. Love for God, love for my neighbor, love for my enemies, love for my family, love. And if I am not operating and walking in the selfless love, well, then nothing else really does matter. And yet at the same time, we need to understand how close we are to the times that we're living in. Well, having said all of that, it is time for me to turn this microphone over to Patricia Joy Xavier. I want to thank those who called into the program today, the broadcast today, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be back on the air and we'll continue on through this week of getting to know the perfect will of God for our lives. And so Patricia Joy Xavier is going to be joining us right after this quick little break. I hope you stay tuned because you're going to get into some deep stuff. And I want to leave you with a comforting song, one that's very dear to my heart. And then Patricia will be right on.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Some very serious discussions going on today. And, you know, it is hard to hear. It really is. But it is what is. And it has been prophesied already. If you really want to know how it's all going to turn out, learn the book of Revelation. Read Matthew 24. Read Luke 21. Read Mark 13, and it pretty well gives you the understanding of what is to come. And so we don't have to get all bent out in shape of what will be. There are prophetic fulfillments, and a great prophetic word is being fulfilled around the world as we speak. This prophecy was written over 2,000 years ago, but it is now coming to the fullness and completion here in the prophetic day of the Lord. Listen clearly, and your life will never be the same because God has given us hope in this. This is our hope body of Christ, and much detail is given. Okay, one of them is sing, O daughter of Zion. We are to cry aloud. We are to give a ringing cry and sing. This is going to help us. Here, the Holy Spirit is commanding the spirit of the male and female to sing. So what? How do we handle these disturbing thoughts and ideas that are coming our way and experiences? We sing. And, you know, it might sound simple, but in the midst of everything that is so negative, singing will help our body, soul, and mind. We are to shout. We are to shout, O body of Christ, to shout in triumph, to know that our time is absolutely as close as possible for the resurrection to come, that we are going to be resurrected into new bodies. We are going to rule and reign with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is absolutely clear about it. Here, the Spirit is commanding the body, the five senses, the vocal cords, all the physical characteristics of the human being to shout in triumph because we are triumphant. We are absolutely triumphant. And oh, what a time we're having right now. Now, I just want you to understand that as long as we keep this kind of view in mind, we will overcome fear itself. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And oh, what a time we are having. We're going to go back over some of the things we had discussed and had talked about prior to today in the book. And one of them was false imaginations. This is what the Word of God calls false imagination. The only way a stronghold will come down is through the knowledge of the Word of God and commanding in the name of Jesus that it be pulled down. What is that stronghold? That stronghold is in a person's mind. That stronghold is false imagination. We must first become the overcoming body of Christ that we have called to be. We must accomplish this by coming against the lie with boldness. And what is the lie? The lie is anything that isn't true being said right now, especially. We have to discern between that which is true and that which is not, what all the voices out there telling us, oh, so many things, and prophesying, oh, so many things. But what is the truth? And what is the true prophet? I believe Vincent Xavier is a true prophet of God. And I know that the things that are happening right now are just showing us the greater work of God. We're going to see great and mighty work in the church. Those who are truly serving the Lord, mighty work, incredible work, work that has never been seen before in the church, even from the beginning. And it's going to be the greatest time the church has ever known, if you will continue to understand the work of deliverance in your life and become that open vessel to be an overcomer. And that's going to make the difference, Christian. That's going to make all the difference. So there is an incredible work in the world today for the church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Father, and in the Holy Spirit. And so that is where the glory is going to hit. Now, as far as the rest of the world is concerned, those who refuse the King of Glory, those who have called him false and have totally and completely disrespected him in every way imaginable, including through laws, changing times to fit immorality. Come on. Come on. That can't be a blessing. There has to be a blessing somewhere, though. And that will be in the true believers, the body of Christ. They will rise up as the government of God according to the word of God. Why? Because the truth will be radiating from their very being. And they will walk in that truth and walk in the victory. It's who you are. This is who I am. Hopefully, if we will endure to the end according to the word of God. So you see, the whole idea is to be set free. And Jesus came to set the captives free. Free from false imagination. Free from believing those things that are not true as though they were. Free from deception and clearly understanding what is going on in the world today. Listen, it's already been talked about in the scriptures. It's already been prophesied in the scriptures. It tells you exactly what will be. And we're heading fast toward the mark of the beast. If you know anything about what is happening with technology today, you will understand how fast this is going to take place. In fact, in some parts of the world, India, for one, they are already working in that manner with high technical abilities to be able to scan the eye and the finger to know who you are with a number that'll never be erased. We're going there quickly and fast, and many of the nations are taking it on and desiring it, because without it, you're not going to have a one world order. You're not going to have a shadow government. You're not going to have an Illuminati. You have to have the essence of being followed and known and controlled to be able to stay in this world, unless you understand the true move of the Holy Spirit in your life to overcome these things and not to receive the mark of the beast. So we are involved in an incredible warfare. And the Lord came, understanding these things would happen, trying to bring the essence of the Father to this earth again, like it was in the beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden, and take back what the enemy has stolen. So, you know, the whole idea is to be set free and to be free of demonic presence. And these demonic presence, they're there. They're there. If you have any sensitivity at all in the Holy Spirit, you'll know. And I'll tell you what, if you're walking in fear at this time, the enemy, Satan, and his demons smell fear like a wolf would. You must be very, very careful how you're walking in the world today. If you are a true Christian and a true believer, you must begin to walk fearlessly, knowing the truth that faith in Christ Jesus is everything that will keep you in his way in these days. And he's not only going to keep you in his way, he's going to raise you up as a glorious, overcoming church, as one we have not quite seen yet, but yet has been the cry and call for 2,000 years. Because for whom Christ sets free is free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery to the enemy. And how does that look? Well, it looks as though you still receive things that aren't correct for you. In other words, you still get stressed, very stressed. And yes, I know this is a part of the patience of the saint to go through these things, but it is also the call of the saint to understand the darkness, the power of the darkness, and how greater God is, and that the strongholds within us will not remain if we understand how the workings of the Holy Spirit work in our lives. So Satan is not the way of God, nor is it in keeping with his instructions to us. Satan's way is to bring us into all kinds of addictions. Satan's way is to bring us into all kind of confusion. Satan's way is to bring us into a place of incredible stress in the times we're in. And we need not compromise anymore. We need to understand the God we serve. And when we as a body of Christ accomplish this, we will begin to see the glory like you have never seen or I have never seen. But the promise is there. You see, we also talked about the deception of Satan, how he manifests, through various means and ways within the world. And the world has their own concepts and ideas of what is right and what is wrong. But we must know the truth of what is right and what is wrong. It's not a relative. It's totally relative that we understand the truth. And we have difficulty sometimes accepting that, because if we don't know the word of God and the promises he gives us and his power to accomplish his word in us, we're in trouble. So this is why the book, I believe, is essential for us today. You know, it's not just mine. There's many books being written, but the Lord gave me this specifically. He said, the people that call me by my name are not understanding. They will perish from a lack of knowledge. And I want them to understand, Patricia. I want them to know what they're dealing with and how to overcome the evil one, because I have already overcome him on the cross, but they must execute the judgment against him. But they don't know how. They do not understand. And that's the reason I was encouraged to write the book. Now, let us continue to take a look at the demonic forces around us and their activity. There are plenty today. There are plenty today. We need to first realize that demonic activity in its present state of frenzy will only increase in direct proportion to the increase in all of the drugs and alcohol abuse and pornography and deterioration of music and entertainment industry. I can't believe what the entertainment industry is doing through Hollywood right now. I was shown a picture on the internet and I got ill. I'm telling you, they are losing it. They don't have a mind anymore. Their mind has been taken over by the enemy. They don't even know who they are. They are following him just like puppets on a string. And so whether this deterioration is coming through television or movies or videos or books or magazines, it's coming. And it is growing rapidly. It's growing so fast. The darkness is getting so thick. And the standards have been lowered to such a degree in every area of our lives in this world right now. You know, from our decaying public schools, they are decaying. They don't even teach the truth anymore. There is not arithmetic. And the things that are necessary in English to learn. No, they are brainwashing our children. And they are decaying their minds. It's all greed. It's all money. It's seeking only paychecks instead of excellence in their labors. And the filth and the corruption of the governmental agencies is getting so out of hand, or it's become so out of hand, that we have not really understood to the degree until now, and it's all beginning to be exposed, praise God. And I pray that nothing stops this exposure of the darkness in the government. And with all that surrounds us, we know that people are the vessels used by Satan to bring forth these abominations, whether in government, whether in the school, wherever it may be, in the universities, in Hollywood. We must also realize that this will continue to worsen until the minds of the unredeemed men are completely darkened and corrupt. The Bible says that's what will happen. But what about us? What do we do in the midst of this? We have been told in the scriptures that in these latter days, there will be great distress. We're seeing it. We're seeing it with our own eyes. We're hearing it with our ears. And it will be unequaled according to prophecy from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. People of God, we are in it. That's what my husband was talking about. We have arrived in those days that were talked about 2,000 years ago, in the latter days. We are here. But what about us? What do we do? We also know that God is pouring forth his Holy Spirit and calling his remnant into action through his word. You have to get to know his word. If you're not reading the Bible and studying the word, you're going to be at loss, because other voices are going to come in and pull you in this direction and that direction, and you will not know what direction to go in. You're going to be confused. You are going to perish from a lack of knowledge. And when the enemy, who is Satan, comes in like a flood, and he hasn't made his full arrival yet, he is being tossed out of heaven in the process of that right now. Now he's also coming out from portals. And the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Listen, we are God's standard. Standard that is going to be lifted up against the evil one. It is us. We are God's standard. We have a standard. An unmovable standard of righteousness and purity and holiness. Not in immorality and filth and uncleanness. That which is pure and holy will win out every time. But we must understand how to move in these floods that are coming upon the body of Christ, upon the church, and upon the world. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against the evil one, against the Satan. It's in Scripture. But I want you to know again, we are God's standard. And the word standard in Hebrew means put to flight, make to flee. Scriptures are so incredible. They are so incredible. If you would only get to truly understand and read by the move of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures tell us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. We resist him by casting him out whenever and wherever we find him. We rebuke him by the authority invested in us through the shed blood of Christ and by his name. That name is so powerful, so great, so mighty that there isn't a realization completely about it yet, but it's coming into focus. That name is above every name according to Scripture. It's above every name in heaven, on earth, and in the earth. It is the power of attorney. It is the power of every overcoming. It is the power to resist the devil and the demons. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Have you received that name? Have you received him into your heart, into your life? Have you given him the preeminence in which belongs to him, seeing that by him and through him all things were created? Is that good enough? Is it righteous enough? All things were created by and through him, according to the word of God and through the truth of the Almighty, because it changed my life when I found out. I was searching in all the wrong places. I was looking for that truth. I was looking for a time of utopia. I wanted a utopia in my life, like immediately. I didn't like the way I saw the world. It didn't look good to me. It didn't look right to me. So I sought in every way. I went into philosophy. I went into psychology. I went into Jung. I went into Aristotle, Socrates. I went in every direction I can think of, including the occult, until I realized finally that wasn't the answer. It wasn't working. But then I called upon that great name, his name, Yeshua in Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the great and mighty creator of the universe. The Father created the universe, and the universe is through him, and all things were created by him. Just read the book of John. I'll tell you something. Until this happened to me, I thought I was so wise and so smart, but nothing was working in my life the way I would want it to. I was putting up with it. I was trying to resist it, all those things that were coming against me, and I was using every kind of method to do so, mostly occult methods. I went into Hinduism, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, back to Catholicism. You notice they're all isms. Well, they're isms because they're not really the complete knowledge and truth until I found it in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, which means Jesus, the Messiah. So, let us take a close look at this authority granted to us through the shed blood of Christ, Messiah, and the protection it provides the believers. You have to ask yourself a question. Am I a believer in Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach? Do I believe in him who went to the cross and died for my sins? Did Buddha? No. Did Confucius do it? No. Did Zoroaster do it? No. Did any Hindu gods do it? No. He did. He alone, who was God, or is God, I shouldn't say was, but was in the state of the heavenly position, came to earth as mere man, and yet as God. But he came to be able to relate to us, the ones he created. He wanted to relate, to feel our sorrow, our pain since the fall. He needed to understand and saw all the crushing blows of humanity, wars and killings and murders of every kind. And he came to give us an answer, freedom of the evil one who has caused all those that I just mentioned. Finally, be strong. Be strong. Christ protection is given. It provides us, the believers, protection. Christ provides protection to us. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 reads it this way. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people that are standing with horrific darkness of mind and trying to change the result of something that was created in the most magnificent way, and that was the United States, the American Constitution. We're fighting not the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities. Who are they? The shadow government, the authorities of the Illuminati and the one world bankers, the authorities of skull and bones, the authorities of the deep state, against rulers, against authorities that have taken over our government. Thank God somebody is rising up to fight that. And who knows exactly what has taken place? President Trump does. Our struggles is not against people, flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, the darkness that have taken over the flesh and blood are spiritual. They're rulers, spiritual, demonic rulers over areas of the world. And they are gathering more and more strength because those who have fallen away from the truth are giving them spiritual forces and evil more and more strength. How? By taking them on. So that's how we're fighting. Therefore, we put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and it has come, this was prophesied 2,000 years ago, you and I may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Don't let your faith be dwindled. Take up the shield of faith with extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one coming swiftly and fast. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You have it. It's been granted to you if you want it. Go and buy a Bible if you don't have it. Begin to understand this great warfare that we are in. Yes, it's physical, but before it's physical, it was spiritual. So I have written this book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, to help transform my life, your life. And if you're interested in it, please, please go to Amazon and look up Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And what I have been reading from will now become more available to you on a daily basis. And also email me at Patricia Joy Xavier xavier@gmail.com. Xavier, Xavier. Let's do this together. Let's work together to be the overcomers we have been called to be. God bless you.